preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
In the middle of this section in John chapter 10, Jesus has been dealing with unbelief, and we've looked at every facet, every corner, every angle of unbelief. It will not believe his words, it will not believe his works, it will not believe the testimony. Everything about John has shown us this. No amount of human reasoning can convince a willful, hardened heart to believe and submit and repent in Jesus Christ. And we need to understand this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "The natural man will not and he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because he is spiritually discerned." Now, we've not listened to the Lord about this. We've not listened. And we have seen a whole marketing strategy in the church today. We've seen manipulation. We have pressured people with gimmicks to come down and make a decision for Jesus. I mean, how often does this go on in your worship services? The lights dim. The pastor says, "Everyone put down their face. And look, say this prayer with me. And if you said this prayer, then I know you're a Christian. Raise your hand." And then everyone gets excited because the pastor says people raise their hands. You're not supposed to look, though. Come on. John has been exposing this stuff. John has been showing us how hard the human heart is. You fill a church with chaff that way. You fill a church with false believers that way. Jesus explains the ultimate the reason people don't believe for unbelief. This is where it gets really powerful in John. The doctrine of election shines. "But I have told you that you do not believe." John 10:26, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep." Did you get that? So Jesus is making it really clear. People don't understand what he's saying because they're not a sheep. So we have this all backwards today. We think people become a not sheep because they make a conscious choice in their mind not to be one. Jesus says very plainly here, if you have a relative or you have a friend or you're a listener today and you remain in stubborn unbelief, do you know that may be that your unbelief is proof that you are not one of his sheep? That's a totally different thought, isn't it? It's what we've seen in John. Unbelief advances only ignorance. And that is evidence that one is not a sheep. Unbelief is the mother of all ignorance. So Jesus here is explaining this. The reason these people are committed to not hearing, to not listening, and as Jesus says, refusing to evaluate even the words and the works, is because of their commitment to unbelief. And that is because they are not his elect sheep. You say, "I don't like that. I don't understand that." Well, we never have the right not to like Jesus' teachings. I suppose we should say that. Jesus' teachings are the truth, so we have to receive them. Understanding it in our little minds is another issue, isn't it? Because the fact is, Jesus has been sincere in calling people to come. None of this truth of election diminishes the call to come to him. Jesus will weep over Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you together as a hen gathers its chicks, but you were not willing." They should have come. They should have believed. They're responsible for their rejection of him. And yet, without divine sovereignty, regenerating the heart, making belief possible, it will never happen that they will believe. That's why all the gimmicks, all the praise bands, all the manipulations aren't going to produce one genuinely saved soul apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was always saying this, and he never felt that such truths were contradictory. John 6, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." You see, when I see this kind of raging unbelief against the pure Son of God who says, I came with the purpose of saving, and you don't believe, it shows how depraved the human heart is. That they chose, by their own dead free wills, to reject the Son, and they're culpable for that. You see, it gives me a whole right kind of perspective about the teaching of election. The way the Lord wants it understood. And it goes like this today, dear listener. If the God the Father hadn't elected from the foundation of the world the sheep given to the Son and the Son had not persevered to save those specifically given to him by the Father, no one would ever come. That would be far more scary. After studying the ugly unbelief here in John's gospel, can you imagine if there were no doctrine of election and God had left it up to the free will of man to get saved himself? Do you hear the scriptures? No one seeks after God. All are dead in trespasses and sins. All have turned away. Do we listen to that? Amazing, there's still a free will doctrine out there, isn't there? When you have statements like that, no one seeks. Look here in John at the human heart's commitment to unbelief. The truth is Isaiah 1. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. In other words, if there was no election, we would have all been destroyed. You see, after studying rejection here in the Bible, I begin to look at election in a totally different light. If I start thinking about what's fair, we're all doomed. That before Jesus came and faced any of this and willfully subjected himself to any of this, he came with the purpose of expressly setting down his life to persevere to the end and save those given to him by his Father. And nothing, I mean nothing, can prevent that from occurring. What was the basis for his persistence? It was to accomplish the work the Father had given him to do, and that work was to save those who were given to him from before the foundation of the world. See, the reason that reason is immensely comforting. It's because grace was given to us before time began for the Christian, planned and purposed that way, so that when God would look down the corridor of time and see how we act, he wouldn't change his mind. You see, he doesn't look down the corridor of time to see if anyone will choose him, because the fact is, when he looks down the corridor of time, no one will choose him. I'm so thankful, said one pastor, that God chose me before I was born, because he would never do it after. You see, he met a world, our Lord Jesus Christ, of people who wanted nothing else but to murder him, and he came to persevere for his elect sheep. Listen, people struggle with the perseverance of the saints today. They think they can lose their salvation. It's because they think the persevering is theirs. It's not. There is one who perseveres through this. That's what you'll notice in John's gospel. There's one who has a divine mission. There's one who has an hour he must fulfill. And that was the intention and purpose of God for his Son, that the Son would go and persevere on the cross to save those given to him by the Father. And he's not about to go to the cross and die so that one might be lost. Not just one might be lost. See how awful the teaching of free will is? That Jesus could die for some and then lose them because they choose not to accept him? His work was a failure. That means he lost one given to him by the Father. Perish that thought. It's an awful thought. Jesus will not lose one given to him by the Father. That means whoever he dies for, he saves. And that's what he says here in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He's not saying, if my sheep will follow me and hear, then I will know them. He's saying, I'm giving my life for them because I know them. And listen to verse 28. And I give them eternal life. It's a complete gift from my hand. I delight to give it to them. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My sheep will never enter into wrath and judgment. They will never face the prospect of being banished from the presence of God. I love how he says it. Nothing can snatch them from my hand. Snatch means to tear out. Nothing. My sheep are so guarded, so protected, so preserved, they will cling and hold on to me no matter what happens. What an awful doctrine to think that one day we could be a Christian and then have it all lost. Who's persevering here? Who's God here? No other branch in Christendom, by the way, besides Reformed believers, believes in the perseverance of the saints. I mean that. If you go through Arminianism, Roman Catholicism, no one has a robust doctrine of assurance except the Reformed faith. And you see, can you imagine hearing this today? Can you imagine the thought that a sheep in Christ's hand has his own power to tear himself out? Who is dethroned and who is enthroned if that were true? You have no assurance if your salvation is contingent upon your remaining in Christ's hand. He who begins the good work, who does? He who begins the good work completes it. It's the last thing Christ says here. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We're of the same essence and purpose. And do you know why not one could be lost? Because the Father has given these sheep to me. They're my reward. My intention to die for them and save them, they are my reward. Notice Christ says here, he lays down his life for his sheep. Then he says to the Pharisees, but you are not of my sheep. Jesus did not die for everyone. If he just said, I lay down my life for my sheep, I die for my sheep. And then he said to the Pharisees, you are not my sheep. Figure it out. He did not die for the Pharisees. Christ, those for whom Christ died, he will not lose one. That's the most comforting teaching in the world. A scary teaching, by the way, to teach that Christ could die for one and then lose him. This is the truth. There has to be the perseverance of the saints because the Son cannot lose one the Father gave to him as a reward for going to the cross. Why is it impossible for you to be snatched, if you're a believer today, away from the all-powerful hand of Christ? It's because the Son of Man was delivered into the hands of sinful men. We cannot be snatched out of his hand because the Son was delivered into their hand. The Lord at the appointed hour would be snatched from his Father's hand, given into the hands of sinful men, so that the believer in Christ would never be snatched from his. So I say today, unless Christ did not persevere to save us, we would never persevere to save ourselves. He was snatched for us to take up his life again that we might live. That's the most comforting truth in the Bible. That truth gives God the glory. It's God's power that keeps a heavenly inheritance reserved for us. That doesn't drive us into cold determinism. This teaching should scare to the bone today those who are living in unbelief. Hear the call. Come to Christ while it's called today. Come. For the believer, this teaching should really comfort you that though you will often stumble and fall, though you may deny the Lord three times like Peter, he will never cast you out because the basis for your acceptance was the grace that he gave to you by the persevering hand of Christ alone. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Lincoln. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.